that we need to talk about. We published a video recently. I don't exactly remember when, but we talked about the five W's in puppy training, and this topic deserves a deeper dive. Also, an opportunity to see, you know, where you are in this and the questions that you have in this process. But when we identify the five W's in your puppy training, it lets you kind of make the choices that are most appropriate for your dog, because you're understanding the big picture. And the reason that people are always saying, like, oh, that, you know, that's a trained dog, when we have a dog on camera for about 28 seconds. And the reality is, we have to keep the dogs away from our trainers before we hand them over to them, because oftentimes problems are solved, things are fixed. But it's because trainers understand the five W's. Mm-hmm. And the first one is a little bit more about you at home, your training, your family situation, but it's something that we talk about on lesson one with our students. And it is who. Let's talk about the who in dog training.
Yeah. Now, obviously, if you have a puppy or a dog that is you know, going to be a family member, so, you know, everybody's going to be partaking in the dog's, you know, care and that type of thing, that's really, really great. And we encourage that. We think that's wonderful. But something that we have learned is that there's often one, sometimes more than one person in the household that ends up connecting with the dog a little bit more easily. And what I mean by connecting is the dog tends to naturally listen to that person a little bit more easily. There's a little bit more drive to please with that person than some of the other family members. And it's not really something you should take offense to or be super worried about, but it is good to know, because often we'll encourage whoever is having success with the dog to try to do a lot of the training if they can. Because what we often find is when a dog sort of starts to get some skills and they start to learn some of the expectations and that type of thing, they end up naturally starting to listen to everybody in the household a lot easier. And then there's also another way of thinking it as well. So often if we're trying to encourage families to figure out who should train the dog, especially if you're going to classes and you want the same person to go all the time, you could, again, start with somebody who's having success. But the other way you can look at it is that sometimes the training, or I shouldn't say sometimes, all of the time, if a person is able to follow the program and learn to follow through and learn to have great timing, sometimes if there's someone in the house that is struggling with leadership, that is struggling with the dog listening to them, if you can follow a more structured program where you're learning about what to do with the dog when certain things happen, and you start giving the dog really good, clear, consistent information, all of a sudden, your relationship with your dog changes entirely for the better. Yeah. So there are some circumstances where if somebody's really struggling with getting their dog to listen over someone else in the household, we'll often encourage them to try to do the training if they have the time and the desire to do it, because it can change somebody's relationship with the dog immensely. And then before you know it, the dog is, you know, really being respectful and is happy to listen to that person, and it makes a big difference. So who trains the dog is a bit more important than most people think. Everybody should be involved, but there are some people that do get things going a bit more.
So before I make the next statement, I totally forgot. We're actually, stay to the end of tonight's show, we're announcing the winners of our Halloween contest.
Yeah.
And we got some incredible pictures and videos from you guys. I was so impressed at some of the costumes for the dogs, as well as people and dogs, which is actually a category that we're going to be announcing later. But hang on, because you're going to see some people who can just soak in the bragging rights for
very cool.
Most original costume, best human and dog combo. Pairing combo costume, and the cutest. You just wait and see.
And the cutest are cute. Cutest.
They are very cute. Very cute. We talked a little bit about, as you were talking about that, I was thinking that there's probably a lot of families that are like, well, okay, well, how do I include the other family members? How do I include kids in the training? Let's talk briefly about that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a way to do that. Obviously, if it's kids that you're wanting to include, there are all kinds of things that you can do to help the kids be involved with the dogs and still put them in a situation where they're going to be safe. The puppy can learn to listen to them. The puppy won't be forming bad habits. As long as you're supervising, you could have them partake in some of the feeding of the dog. You can help your kids to learn how to teach your dog how to do some tricks, or you can start the trick a little bit and then have your kids partake in some of the things when the puppy already kind of has a basic idea. You know, we often like to have the kids help with like things like restraint recalls, where the kids can take a pile of treats or your puppy's favorite toy. And this also tires the kids out. Have the kids run down the backyard and release the puppy to chase after the kid. And when they catch the kid, they can give them a little jackpot reward of treats or have a fun little game of tug. And it's just a cool way of getting the kids involved. But we wouldn't recommend, like, the kids shouldn't be walking the dogs, or, you know, getting in their space when they're in a crate, or, you know, repeating commands over and over and over and over again and not following through, because those are the hard bits. So there's all kinds of things kids can do to be involved. But there are also certain exercises that it's not good for them to be involved until you have a dog that's a little further along with their training.
Yeah. Deborah Dumas, one of our Heart Dog supporters. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Okay. So we've talked a little bit about the who, the amount of commitment. It's going to be great, but when you've picked that person, when you've chosen the right person to commit to that training, it's so good for the dog. Next, we need to know about what. What are we teaching? So we've got who, now what. What are we teaching that dog? What's important for a puppy to learn at the beginning? We have published many, many videos on things like, new puppy vlogs, or first 24 hours, or things like first day home, you know, five morning wins to get. All of these things we put out because these are the things we want you to be doing with your puppies at home. It's the as a student who came in who'd made a lot of bad decisions before I became a dog trainer, I realized very quickly that I could see, once I became a trainer, I could see a difference in the students who were being intentional about their activities during the day, being intentional about setting goals for themselves and their dog throughout the day. The things that you teach your dog first are going to be really important, and we need to know what those things are and why we're teaching them.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things that I would start off with a new puppy is anything that sets the tone in terms of what the puppy and I's relationship is going to be. And, you know, when you hear dog trainers talk, they often talk about this word relationship. And, you know, people, the average person think, well, obviously I have a good relationship with my puppy. Puppy loves me. I love my puppy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm sure that's true. But would your puppy choose you over any distraction? Do they want to listen the very first time that you ask them to do things? Do they only have, you know, eyes for you in some of these really tough situations? Or when push comes to shove, is your puppy just going to go and self-reward and do something else? The type of relationship that we're looking for is a dog that's motivated and eager to listen. They're happy to do so. They understand their expectations. They are calm and happy and all of those things in the situations that we want them to. So how do you train a young puppy to do this? Well, it's certainly not a quick process. It takes a while, but there are certain things that you can start off with that can really help this thing. Number one, you can start with basics, you know, sit down. Those are all the normal things that people often start with. But we like to also include things like attention. So teaching your puppy to look at you on command. One of the big things that we work a ton on when puppies are really young is to teach them to have a really reliable response to their name. And this is a tricky one because a lot of people, they're really excited about the dog's name because the puppy's so cute. And so they end up using the puppy's name all the time. And then the puppy just hears the name over and over and over again. And then pretty soon it doesn't really mean much. So we teach certain exercises that build value for the name so that when we say it, we actually get a reaction from the puppy each and every time that we say it. So that's a huge one. Anything to do with confidence building. And then this is going to sound a bit strange, but anything that teaches puppies how to learn, how to problem solve, how to not get stressed when they're wrong, how to learn to try something else. What do they find rewarding? What do they find scary? All of these things so that when I go to teach my dog more serious things, I have a pretty good sense of my dog and I know how to motivate them. I know how to get them to listen to me. And then it teaches, when I go to teach things like walking and recall and some of these bigger bigger life skills things, I'm able to do it more efficiently and quickly because I already know how what my puppy needs to get motivated to listen to me. So a lot of that relationship stuff comes down to that, and we do all of that literally in the first couple of weeks that we have them home.
Yeah, so we abstractly talked a little bit about relationship building exercises. We focus on things like, and you might not believe this, but something like playing tug with your puppy. You know, simply doing luring is a great way to teach your puppy that you've got something of value. And if they put in a little bit of work, they just have to follow the food. It's so simple, but it's where you get those first little wins. Kale mentioned, we're not taking the dogs for a walk. You know, that's not what we're doing when the puppy's young. We're not taking untrained dogs of any age for walks unless we're teaching them how to walk, unless they already know how to walk. I've said it before, but, and I love this, the way this bounces, but we're going for wins. We're not going for walks, especially with a dog in training, because you need to make sure that they have a foundational understanding of whatever it is you're doing before you have an expectation of them to be successful or to, do it reliably. And that's really what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So it's all about this foundational stuff. That's how you build relationship. That's also, we often talk about something called leadership. And a lot of people aren't really sure what leadership means.
No.
Leadership doesn't mean you rule with an iron fist. Leadership means you understand what your dog needs to work on. You understand what they're capable of, how long they can train, what they like, what things do they find valuable. That's great leadership, but that's exactly how you fast track your relationship with your dog. Because they're never left wondering, well, what do they want? What does this pert human want from me? You're making it very, very clear. These are the kinds of things that you're going to work on. Things as simple as go lie in your bed, and you just lure the puppy over to their bed and have them lie down. This skill is going to be the thing that, like, you know, lasts them a lifetime, number one, most importantly, possibly. And it's going to be so easy that you can do it with them and then have them, you know, perform some sort of task, you know, and you can start to build duration. And it's great. These exercises are really important, but they're dead simple. We're not asking for a recall when they're going to potty out in the backyard and they're not on a long line and we're calling them back. That's terrible dog training. We're going to go out there with them on leash, online, because number one, we want to know if they've gone. We don't want to struggle with puppy potty training, but we also don't want them to have an opportunity to make a mistake. It's really important when you talk about the what. Well, we're going to get a little bit more. Let's get a little bit deeper into it, and then we can, because I'm excited about the Halloween contest thing, and I don't want to burn up too much time on one of these points. But the what is really important. We have a million videos here on the channel that talk about what you need to do. Every exercise in those videos is focused on foundational learning, building great relationship. That's the goal. That's the goal at this point. Whether you're, okay, let's go in a little bit farther. So we've talked about who, we've talked about what, which is a pretty important one. We need to talk about the where. Unfortunately, we need to talk about the where, and a lot of people struggle with this.
Yeah.
And I've even have friends who, really were so interested in advice, and then they're making all the mistakes that I told them not to make because they're excited about getting out with their puppy. Yeah. Little do they know what their puppy learns first, they learn best. So they might struggle a little bit down the floor. Hold on a second. We have one heck of a super chat.
What?
Marianne Matron. Wow. With a 99.
I feel like that might be a mistake. It's very
unbelievable.
Nice.
Let's just see here. Cute. Marianne Matron. Yeah. She says, $99.99. Thank you very much, Marianne. This is our third puppy, and your training has made a huge difference. I can't believe how far we've come in a month. The support is amazing. Everyone needs this.
Wow.
Well, that is really exciting. One heck of a super chat. I think Portia is the puppy's name.
Nice.
Portia might be from, it might be Stephanie's puppy. Thank you very much. That's very cool, Marianne. We do appreciate that. What a super chat. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, let us know if you have a question that you want us to answer as
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely. It's so nice to, honestly, you know, this channel, we publish content that, because I struggled so much before I went to dog training. I thought this channel would be an opportunity to share with you, you know, to avoid the mistakes, to learn, have a better puppy experience, because mine was interesting. But I made a lot of mistakes, and I want you guys to avoid the mistakes. And you'll see through Marianne and Portia that you make good choices, you get great results. And this is exactly the kind of thing we're hoping to communicate with you tonight. We're hoping to put you ahead in your puppy training experience.
So awesome.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Marianne. That's awesome. We need to talk about the where. So I was just sort of mentioning that so many people get their puppy and they think, well, I've got a dog, better take it for a walk. Or, yep. Oh, I've got a puppy, I better take it to the kindergarten let out of all the kids because everybody wants to see the puppy. Or I better, you know, do all these things that are completely the wrong choice for that young dog in training. Let's talk a little bit about why.
Yeah, it's funny what you just said there. Today I was at, you know, the studio and shooting a video that's going to be coming out in a couple weeks. So we had some students there and the cutest little puppy named Daisy you've ever seen.
I heard this.
She was
about
this big and just like a ball of fuzz.
Oh, so cute.
But this couple was just doing such an amazing job with her already. And they had came to us because they saw our YouTube channel, been watching all of our stuff. And they said that this is the first dog that they are not walking at like a young age. And they said they can't believe the difference that it's making because the man had said, you get a dog, you walk it. That's just what everybody thinks you're supposed to do.
Big
so
mistake.
This idea of not putting your puppy in situations where they're likely going to make errors is such a smart way of doing things. You know, our training is we try our best to build on success. So until we feel pretty comfortable that when we put our dog into a new environment or new location or whatever, that we know that, you know, although it might not be perfect, there's a pretty good chance that the puppy is going to make good choices. Or if my puppy doesn't make a good choice, I know exactly what to do to assist my puppy in that moment. And that's why something like taking your dog for a walk around the block when they're, you know, 10 to 15 weeks old can be challenging because they don't really know how to hold a loose leash at your side. They don't really know how to respond to their name perfectly every time or stop when you sit. So that's just sort of an example. But the other example is what you touched on. And that is, what type of scenarios are you putting your puppy in when they're not ready for it? And that could be, you know, not supervising well enough in the house and, you know, leaving them alone. It could be letting them outside to go for a pee and, you know, go inside and you're busy. And then you call 8 times to get your puppy to come inside and they don't listen.
Right.
So you pull the cookie jar out and you shake that and that brings the dog in. Well,
who's guilty
this
of that?
Is
that happens a lot.
Yeah,
like, this happens a lot, and let me know in the chat because I know this is something I did.
Know, but the average person thinks, oh, well, that worked.
Yeah,
but
totally.
We go, yeah, but they should really listen the first time, because do you really want to have to shake a cookie bin after yelling 8 times in order for them to listen?
Totally.
So we want you to really have a higher expectation, and we don't expect young puppies to listen like that because we know they're in the training phase. So when it comes time to where we train the puppies, we try to train them in locations where we're not going to battle too much of the outside environments, but then we deliberately go different places to expose and prove our puppies as well. So if my puppy is nailing something in my kitchen with nothing going on, then maybe after a couple days, I will go to the living room, or I will go out on the deck, or I will go out on the driveway, and I'll deliberately change locations. But I try to keep those things controlled so that I don't have these unnecessary or unexpected distractions, like the neighbor walking up or a squirrel running by, and I can't control that until I'm ready to be there. So we're gonna do all of the things with the dog, but we're gonna be careful about when we do them.
Absolutely.
Mm. Which sort of segues into our next point.
Well, before we get there, so let's talk I just want to mention a little bit that where people often want to take their dogs to their friend's house so they can meet their puppy.
Yeah.
Or take their dogs to a dog park because they think that's good socialization. Absolutely, unequivocally, do not take your puppy to a dog park. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of qualifiers that you might get there at some point. But if we're going to a dog park, it's because no other dogs are there. It's a great fenced-in space. But with your young puppy, a couple things. They might not be vaccinated. They might have had enough vaccinations. That's something really important to think about when you're thinking about where I'm going to take this puppy. But all it takes is one bad experience for your puppy, whether they get plowed over by another dog or they, you know, maybe it's during a fear period and there's like a big truck goes by and it really scares them. And now you really have something that you have to fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that you're going to have to work through. So the where is surprisingly important. Where do we train our puppies? Where have you suggested that, like, someone in, you know, a really urban environment might train their puppy? Like, hard advice, what places would you mention?
Well, I try to go to quiet places to begin with. And if you're, you know, somebody that lives in the city, it might mean that you have a little bit more work to do and you might need to, you know, jump in the car and go to, you know, my brother lives downtown Toronto. And when he had his puppy there, he often, before she could walk really well, he would put her in the car and they would drive to a quiet park nearby and he would do his training at that park. He lives in Toronto. Toronto's very, very busy. Pick times of the day to go to different places that might not be when the school, you know, has just been let out and there's kids everywhere. Not a good time to train a puppy that doesn't have the skills yet. So sometimes it means that you have to do a little bit more work, but remember, it's not forever. It's just during the training phase, and then you'll be so glad that you did these extra things to make life a little bit easier now, because it will really pay off down the road.
Absolutely. Marianne, matron, with a great question. This is an important one for you puppy owners. When can we think about having our puppy sleep in the bed with us? I feel like she might sleep longer if she did. I love this question. I get asked this kind of thing quite often. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what that might look like.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of factors to think about when you want to get to the point where your puppy is not sleeping in their crate anymore and they're sleeping either, you know, out loose in your room on a dog bed, or maybe you choose to have the dog sleep in your bed. To me, there's a couple things I would think about. I don't really go by age. I go more by dog's behavior and experience level. So first two things I would think about would be, is my dog completely and fully house trained? So do I not have to worry at all about my dog having any accidents whatsoever? And if they did have to go out, do they understand in my bedroom how to ask me to go outside? So that would be one. Second thing is, have I navigated through all of the different chewing phases in my puppy's life? Because lots of times, they'll chew a lot when they're young, and then it gets better for a little bit. And then some dogs will have another chewing period when they're sort of in their adolescent phase, just when you think you're in the clear. So I need to make sure that that's not going to happen as well. And then the third thing, and this is the one that people don't think about as much, is how's everything else going in life with your dog? Because sometimes what happens is when we invite the dogs up onto the couch or in the bed or things like that, and dogs sort of learn, like, okay, I'm one of you guys now. I just get to snuggle in here. You know, how are they doing in other parts of their life in terms of listening and respect? Do you have absolutely zero nipping and biting issues now? None whatsoever. Like, it's not even a thought.
Yeah, this is
good. Are they, you know, jumping up and not settling when you ask them to? Are they barking excessively and you can't get them to stop yet? If you were to tell them to get off something, do they get off like a rocket? Like, look at those types of things. And if there are different areas of control in your dog's life where they aren't listening as well as they could, then I wouldn't allow them to sleep in the bed yet.
Yeah.
Because it will start to blur the waters a little bit about, you know, kind of who's in charge of things. And, you know, you don't have to ever have your dog sleep in your bed. I love having my dog sleep in our bed with us, for sure. But we do it in time.
Yeah, when the puppy is proven.
When the puppy is proven
it's
to do that.
Earned.
And all we have lots of dogs. And they've all sort of had a bit of a different journey. There are some dogs
Absolutely.
That have been loose earlier in age. And there's some dogs that needed more time, you know, created in their age. So it really is more about the dog's behavior and how just the overall respect goes. And that can really be helpful.
Yeah, I love the... When you mentioned, like, if they don't jump off when you ask them to get off, it's sort of a litmus test. Like, is that happening? Then there's a level of understanding mm-hmm. there. You know, are you having leadership problems? The nipping and biting stuff is so important because, you know, it seems like it's fun and cute, but it's not good information until your puppy really understands where to draw the line.
Yeah, totally.
So we've talked about who, what, where. Next is when. What's important for you to understand is that your puppy is learning all of the time.
Right now they're learning.
Yeah, that's right. Honestly, they're learning right now. So if you're watching YouTube and your puppy's in the kitchen peeing in the corner, or your puppy is...
let's hope that's not happening.
Yeah, or your puppy's chewing on your socks, or maybe right now you're working on a nice bed stay with your puppy lying down beside you. You're rewarding them for that. Or maybe because you finally got a couple of minutes to yourself, you've exercised your puppy and now they're in their crate, so that you can put your feet up, have a glass of wine, wonder how you could have made the mistake of getting a puppy, and watch some YouTube so that you're ready after to take them back out and do something with them. But because your puppy is constantly learning, it's really important for you to understand that in the absence of information, so if you're not there supervising them to tell them, yes, that's right, and no, that's not the right thing, in an absence of information, they're going to think that whatever feels good or tastes good is the right thing. I think someone had mentioned earlier that they're really struggling right now with their puppy and chewing. Well, if that's the case for you, you need to be really careful about the freedom that your puppy has. Yep. You need to be supervising them 100% of the time.
Because, when and how is the chewing happening?
Yeah, right, exactly. We've got a couple of videos on the channel that talk about redirecting away from chewing, but it's going to come down to you. If you're not being a great supervisor, then your puppy is going to think that they're doing the right thing just because it feels good. It's that old, you know, people would say, like, you know, your puppy goes, sneaks away and pees on the carpet and then you rub their nose in it. That's absolutely ridiculous. If you can't catch them in the act of whatever the thing is that they're doing that you don't like, then you have no opportunity to train it. So that it's really important that you understand that. What the great part of that is while you're supervising, you're going to catch those moments when they make a great choice. You know, you're going to be in the kitchen when they come and they just happen to sit beside you. We have... So talking about the when, so you don't want your puppy thinking that the only time they really need to listen is when you're in training mode and you have your treat pouch, you got some treats in your hand or in your pockets. You want your puppy thinking that it's important to listen all of the time. Like there's no freedom to make bad choices and do all these awful things. So what we'll do when we have a new puppy in the house, you probably saw this if you watch some of our puppy vlogs, but we'll literally have like treats, some treats on the counter, or some treats somewhere that's easily accessible, or to be honest, treats in our pockets all of the time when we have a new puppy in the house, because then we can capture those great choices. If your puppy, I'm just trying to think of like goes and lies on their bed while, you know, you're out there supervising them, I'd reward that. I love that behavior, and I want them to know that, listen, buddy, that's exactly the right choice. Mm-hmm. You go lie in your bed, you get a treat for that.
Yeah.
So the when is always. Now, a lot of people will ask, well, when can I start training my puppy? And this, I find this kind of funny because this is what I thought too. I thought, you know, dog's probably got to be like 10 weeks old or something for them to really start learning. Your puppy's capable of learning the day they come home. I've seen a couple of people that have mentioned like, well, you want to give them a couple days just to settle in before you start potty training. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Or crate training.
Yeah.
Happen immediately.
Let's talk about that. Like, how important is that for them to learn day one? And the challenge is they've just come from a situation where they've been able to just go whenever they wanted to. They're around their brothers and sisters or whatever, but likely not have had to worry about where they peed. So now you've brought them into a new location and they're like, where am I? And what do I do when I have to go?
Yeah. Well, we know dogs, what they learn first, they learn best. So I would argue that the first couple days home at your house are the most important, because you're taking them out of an environment that they are now very comfortable in, and you're placing them in a new home where they don't have a clue what the rules are in terms of where they go to the bathroom, who are they supposed to listen to, who do they connect with, who do they play with, you know, where do they sleep, all of these things. They don't know any of that stuff. So we need to be there to be guiding them every step of the way. It's like having a newborn baby. You're literally making every single decision for them.
Right.
You know, I don't let my puppy just wander around the house and check it out. I might let my puppy sniff around, but they have their collar and they have their house line on already, and I'm engaging with them and I'm following them and seeing if I can get them to interact with me as much as possible. Nice. Napping overnight is in the crate already. seeing if they'll follow some food, eating out of my hand, watching very closely so I can see if I can start to learn some of the signs that my puppy may give if they have to go to the bathroom, so I can already start to initiate, you know, good house training skills. So these are all the things that we would do right off the bat with our dogs. Our dogs are really quite... they're quite intelligent. Their ability to adapt and ability to like read situations and learn things is remarkable.
Yeah. I just saw a couple things that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
I like this. Melissa says, if you reward your all good behavior with your puppy, will it cause jealousy with the other dog living in your home? This is a question we get often in a multiple dog household. Do you want to talk about what we do?
Yeah.
Because we have multiple dogs.
We do have multiple dogs.
And lots of students with multiple dogs.
Yeah. So with our dogs, when we have a new puppy come home, we intentionally put all of the other dogs away. So whether they're in a crate or in the other room or behind a baby gate or whatever the situation is, they are completely separated from the puppy. And it stays that way for months, to be perfectly honest. Obviously, they're around each other a little bit, but we do not let our young puppies... interact with our older dogs really at all for the first little bit that we have them home, because we want to make sure that everybody has their own respectful space. And until my puppy starts to have some skills, I want to make sure I'm not putting, you know, a bad taste in my older dog's mouth because there's this bratty little puppy, you know, all over the place. So basically we just switch. So if we're doing puppy training, other dogs are away, we're 100% focused on the puppy, and then puppy goes in the crate. While the puppy's in the crate, our other dogs are, you know, around the house and loose and doing their own thing like they normally do. And you know, our older dogs just sort of learn to walk by the puppy's crate and they sort of leave them alone. They're happy to do that. And then what I love about it is puppy also learns that they're in the crate and the older dogs are out, so it sort of helps with a bit of you know, pecking order as well. But that's sort of what we do. And there's not really too many issues with jealousy because it's controlled so much.
Yeah, and we slowly introduce the puppies back into the pack.
And then I'll use my older dogs as distractions and stuff as my puppy, young puppy, gets older, and I'll start to slowly integrate them a little bit more together until they're one big happy family.
C. Rittenhouse. I have a couple more points on when, but C. Rittenhouse dropping the $19.99 super chat, and YouTube's telling me this is your first super chat on any live stream on YouTube. Excited.
Oh.
For you
to do
that. It's very cool. From C. Rittenhouse. And I love this question because we had this issue and we talked a little bit about this with one of our dogs. If your puppy's not always food motivated, can we use toys to practice luring? How many hours of active training and exercise should an 8-week-old get? Albus Dumbledog says thanks.
That's great.
Yeah.
If your puppy's not always food motivated, yes, of course, you can use toys to practice luring, but only some exercises. The thing with toys is that you can't sort of move and manipulate the puppy's body into positions like you can with food. You could use toys to play tug and out, to do teach recalls, response to name, things like that. Fetch, of course. But I would work on building food drive. There's lots of different ways that you can work on building more motivation for food so that you do have the ability to use both. That's going to be really important.
To this point, this comes down to the when.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a couple of whens during your day that you should be training to build that food drive, to know that your dog is going to be, you know, a little bit more interested in that food as a resource. Every meal, instead of feeding your dog their breakfast, lunch, and dinner, use their meal for training. You know, really focus on those times. There's all sorts of times throughout the day that you can focus on these natural training opportunities. And mealtime is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
The other question I'd have for you, C. Rittenhouse, is why? Why is your dog not so interested in food? Are they getting too much food? Are you trying to do training after the meals, which we've just solved?
Are you free feeding?
Are you free feeding? Yeah, meal feeding is really important at this stage in your dog's life. I mean, throughout their lives. But it's even more important now because you can... monitor the ins and the outs, which is really important for their general health. But also, they start to learn that, like, you're the bringer of good things.
Yeah.
So whether it's food or play or whatever, that's it's really, really
valuable.
There was
a second part to the question.
Okay.
Oh, it's right here. How many hours of active training and exercise should an 8-week-old get?
This is also a great win.
Yeah, this is a good question. I wouldn't think of it in terms of like numbers and hours. The best way to train any dog, but specifically a puppy, is to have many short sessions of training and interaction and exercise multiple times a day. And by short, I mean some of them can be like 5 to 10 minutes at a time, and then up to like 20 or 30 minutes. And then we do a lot of like bring the puppy out, high intensity interaction, games, playing, exercise, training, whatever it might be. And then we put the puppy in the crate and then we go back about our day, back to work, whatever we need to do, and then get puppy back out, do our thing for a few minutes. Puppy goes away. We go back to our thing. And that's what the day looks like quite a bit. Every dog's a bit different. There's some dogs that have higher energy levels. Maybe they need a little bit more. You'll learn that as time goes on. But, you know, 8 weeks old, I would try to be getting several little interactions, targeted interactions with your puppy every single day if you can. Something that works them mentally, something that works them physically. And that's on top of like just your everyday management of the dog. Remember, managing your dog and training your dog, they're exactly the same thing. I'm still, you know, when I take my dog out for a pee in the morning or give them breakfast in the morning or go in and out of the crate or in and out of the door, whatever situation is, that's all training. That's all teaching my dog how I want them to behave in those situations. So that's a training session right there.
Yeah, to the when.
They sleep a lot at that age, though.
Absolutely. When you're, so short training sessions, I love when you mentioned you exercise them physically, then you exercise them mentally.
Yeah.
Like the combination of those two things is really valuable, especially when it comes to nighttime. So one practice that we follow with all of our puppies, something we tell our students to do, when we see great success with this, is it serves two purposes. So do you have a puppy that gets the zoomies? Like, how many of you guys have a dog who goes, like, absolutely bonkers at some point throughout the night?
Puppy burns, yeah, we also call them.
It's called a frenetic random activity period. The dogs are just go beside themselves. They go zooming around. Well, if you've figured out a pattern that your puppy's going to have the zoomies, well, before that time of night comes around, it's a great opportunity to exercise them. Before we put our puppies in their crate for the night, we will do restraint recalls up and down the hall. 4 or 5, just depends on the puppy. We'll just figure it out. Yeah, could be 10, could be 15 if you have a super energetic puppy that's full of beans. So you do those activities with them. Then you can do a little bit of mental exercise. Maybe, again, maybe it's luring. Maybe it's working on your sits and downs, and maybe it's teaching them an adorable trick. That is great. A great way to do some mental exercise with your puppy and exercise their brain. The beauty of all of that is now you've got a more tired puppy. A secret hack is that your puppy's also now got to poo or pee. You know, you can take them out so they've got to poop before they go to in their crate overnight. And maybe you get to sleep all night, depending on what time of night you're doing that exercise with them. But I will tell you, that is a hack to get you through to the morning. When we first brought one of the puppies home, again, it's on one of our videos. When we first brought one of the puppies home, the challenge to Kale in the video was to, can we get this puppy to sleep overnight? So we showed you, you know, the perfect example of like, what does the perfect night look like so that you can build, you know, the perfect night around your life. But that 100% included physical exercise before bedtime, a little bit of brain work, and then out for a poo and a pee, and into bed you go. And the puppy slept until like 7 o'clock in the morning, which I know there's some of you who are like, how on earth did you make that happen? Check out our video. It might be the perfect overnight puppy plan or something like that. I can't
quite remember. Lots of links will know.
Yeah, lots of links will probably know. Okay, it's important to understand, it sort of relates to the when, that Kale mentioned it earlier, but it's not about the age. When you're doing all this puppy training, people are always like, okay, well, what about if my puppy is 15 weeks?
How long do I do this?
The other beautiful part is that if you brought home a dog that's new to you but not a teeny tiny puppy, all of these same rules apply. Like as we talk about these foundational learnings and all of these exercises. But how do you know when to progress from one step to the next? That's where Kale comes in with our puppy essentials program. I'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of things that you can do, and we have a fabulous YouTube channel. I always sit in the wrong spot when you do this. We have a fabulous YouTube channel that has all kinds of information, and lots of people try to use the YouTube channel to train their puppies, which is great. We encourage you to do that. But one thing that happens is the information is sort of mumble jumbled all over the place because you don't really know what order you're teaching it in. We also just show snippets of things on YouTube. So we don't give you the whole picture because we're trying to also keep things entertaining. And secondly, is that when you're puppy training, one size doesn't fit all. So with our online programs, we're able to put things in specific orders so that you know exactly what to do when. And the biggest thing that you'll get out of the program is that if something isn't going exactly what you thought, I see some people say, I've watched all your videos and my puppy's still doing this. Well, that means that something's wrong. It could mean that your timing's off, your technique's off. Maybe your puppy needs to be motivated a little bit differently. In our programs, we're able to see that because we see videos. We can talk to you one-on-one and learn about these things. And then we can mold and shape our answers to your problems specific to your puppies. We can get you on the right track. So our Puppy Essentials programs is for puppies that are under 4 months. If you have a dog that's over 4 months, then you would do our life skills program. The outline and structure of the class is exactly the same. You're just working on different skill set. There's help 6 days a week. We do weekly live coaching calls. It really is quite amazing. And the best part is if you're not really sure what to do, you just
ask a trainer. Yeah.
Email.
You have
call,
access to
ask,
a trainer.
And we'll get you on the right track.
We need to talk about the fifth W, and that is the why. So we've talked about who, what, where, when, and why. Why is it important that you follow these rules? Kale mentioned a little bit earlier that what puppies learn first, they learn best. And to be honest, we've talked about some things tonight that sound like a lot of work. It's because they are. But the investment that you make now is so valuable as your puppy gets older, as your dog goes through that adolescent phase, which can commonly be a real struggle for a lot of dog owners. But if you envision a world where your dog listens, comes back when you call them, walks on a loose leash, allows you to go to Starbucks or Tim Hortons for your double-double, and doesn't pull you down, doesn't spill your coffee, if you want a dog that you can go more places with, that's what I wanted. I didn't want my dog to be a struggle. I didn't want my neighbors to be yelling, who's walking who, out the door as I walk down the street, and that's what I found at McCann Dogs, and that's why I can say this so honestly. But the why, it's so valuable to give your dog great information now, because it's so hard to fix the bad habits. It's so much more work to like change the problems, because they could have just been avoided with good management or good information. You can speed up your training by teaching your puppy how to learn. All of these exercises, the relationship stuff, the leadership stuff, all of this is teaching your puppy how to learn. It's some foundational things until we get into the little more complicated exercises for your dog. But this step is so important that it's worth the extra work. It's worth the extra time. And I mentioned, I just on our teaching plan, I said, people always say like, how's that dog so well trained? Like, of course, the instructor's dog's well trained, because our trainers know this. They understand the who, what, when, where of their puppy training.
What to do when.
That's right. Yeah, they don't let the dog make mistakes. They know how to reward the stuff that your dog just happens to do. They know how to reward the stuff that's really valuable. And they don't send their puppies out in the backyard because it's dark or cold to have their pee and hope that they did it.
We do all the hard work that you guys have to do, too.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, we have the same experience you do. Ours is just, it goes a lot more quickly because we don't have the questions. However, if you do have questions, you can definitely join us in the Puppy Essentials program, and we'll give you some of those answers. Now, I know a lot of you guys have been waiting all night for this, and we need to get to our Halloween winners of the Halloween contest.
Yep.
Ready for this?
I need to just address something.
Okay.
But yep, you go for it.
So, the first one, we have three categories. There's original costumes. There's human dog costumes. I think it's like whatever. It's like both a human and a dog appear in the picture, and they're amazing. And cutest. We've also got some honorable mention. And the cutest. I want to start with original because these are pretty impressive. So let's see if this is working right. Okay, over here. Oh, look. Now it's over there. It's over there, Kel. See? Over there.
What?
It's over there. We got to look over there. The most original costume.
I see.
The most original costume. In third place.
I love this.
Life with Pit Bulls, STXS, Hocus Pocus.
This is awesome.
Fantastic.
Number one, great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Right.
And look, the one in the middle has lipstick on.
I know.
Could that be any cuter?
I don't think so.
I love this one so much. And they're just sitting there like, okay, dress me up. I know. Whatever you need me
so
to do.
So great. Such a great picture.
Awesome. I love it.
Congratulations on third place.
Good training with your dogs all doing a little sit-stay side-by-side like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
With stuff on.
See, Kale finds the training wing.
I like there. The training things. So I always think, cool oh, part. How did they do that?
In second place for most original costume, Mario, Fortune Teller, and S'more. So these guys, actually, they
this
submitted.
This is awesome.
This is amazing. Yeah, this is by Magic Gold Dogs. They submitted videos.
Yes.
And they were unbelievable.
I know.
We can't really share reels here just because of music and stuff. But this was incredible. Like, such well
yes.
thought out, put together costumes. I was just so impressed. Just
this
so
is
great.
Just unbelievable.
I know. Congratulations, second place. For the most original costume, AI Jack Skellington
this
from Ferns and Poppies.
Is so cool.
Yeah, so this is the AI representation of the puppy.
So I know this dog. Her name's Poppy.
Yep.
And she's a poodle.
Okay.
And I don't know her personally, but she's one of our students.
Yep.
And because I know what the dog looks like, this is just
that
so
much more impressive.
Yes.
I should say.
Because it looks like her. And yeah. she's black like that. And yeah. she has a white
yeah.
face.
That's awesome.
So it literally, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I should say that all of these, the picks tonight, the winners tonight, were voted on by trainers and non-training staff at
yeah.
the Canned Dogs. So mm-hmm. lots of people got.
And they're not all students. They literally were just using hashtags. I just happened to know that this is one of our
yeah.
students.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to human-dog combo because there's some real beauties
Yay,
in here.
Poppy.
So, in third place for best human and dog costume, Spider and Fly from Anne Crandall. This is pretty great. I love this one.
Anne's face is fantastic.
I know. She's got like the spider.
I want to know how long it took her to put all those strings on the tire jump.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And Anne's dressed as a fly. Can you see that?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
hilarious.
I love the glasses sort of sell the fly. That's the spider. Very cool. In second place.
So funny.
For best human and dog costume, Mountie and Horse from Stacers 553.
So
oh, there's no
cute.
Doubt about it. Looking good there,
love
bud.
Love the Canadian aspect as well.
I know.
They submitted a second picture, and the puppy is like licking the horse's face.
Oh, that's
the
cute.
One I've actually thought that we were going to show tonight.
Okay.
But here you can actually see their faces.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
much better.
Oh, that's
but the other
one
is very cute. You'll yeah. have to search the hashtag and see all of them.
Yeah,
but
where are these available?
Just search hashtag MeCanDogsHalloween23 on Instagram or Facebook, and okay. they'll all come up.
Very cool. Well yeah. done, guys. Really nice.
So cute.
Great, very Canadian of you. In first place for best human and dog costume. Oh, no, I went the wrong way. Say bye. and one again. In first place for best human and dog costume, Creepy Circus from Indy and Otis.
Oh my
Unbelievable.
Goodness. That is good. They've captured the essence
yep.
yes, of yeah. the like creepiness. And also Indy is like.
Just chill.
Yep. Yeah, I'll just do whatever you need me to do.
Great example.
This is fantastic.
Great example of relationship.
Right? Amazing.
For a dog to allow you to carry them like that.
Awesome.
Very cool. Okay. We're moving on to cutest. In third place for the cutest costume, Fairy Westie from Tiffany A. Weaver. Look
oh,
at how cute that is.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the lights for me.
I know.
And, like, the
yeah.
little over-the-shoulder
oh,
look.
Oh, so cute.
So cute.
Very cute.
That's adorable.
In second place for cutest costume, Evie Pumpkin from Everest and Alpine.
This is my favorite category.
The little heads, like, you know, just sort of hanging on over it.
Oh,
so cute.
What a great shot.
I know.
I love that. Evie's adorable.
And the moment you've all been waiting
oh,
for.
God, I can't wait.
The first place in the cutest dog costume, Bear. From Toby Aaron Collins.
Oh,
oh my gosh,
my
that's
goodness.
Adorable.
Look at the little legs.
Oh, man. Damn, that's cute.
The head tilt.
Oh, I know.
Come on.
So adorable.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Very cute. And we do have some honorable mentions.
I love it.
Coda Little Doodle, Stephanie and Clover. That's a great one.
Clover's adorable.
And At His Scribe. That's with Scooby-Doo.
And
pirate.
Like a whole pirate scene like in the background.
Yeah, very
that
cool.
That is very
so
elaborate.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that actually real?
Or I don't
is
know.
It,
I'm not sure. It could be. Wow. I would expect that's like Photoshop, but
it's wonderful.
I've been tricked before.
I love this. It's great.
So great.
Good job, guys.
Thank you guys for submitting all of your contest submissions. I was thoroughly impressed. The amount of effort that went into them. Again, we did get some reels as well on Instagram and probably TikTok, I think, for you to check out. So check those out. I was just thoroughly impressed. If you have a puppy and you need some training to help them to get trained, check out our Puppy Essentials program. If you have, do you use music for your dog? Like when you leave the house, do you put music on for them? If that's the case, we've actually worked with some digital music creators over on our McCann Dogs channel, and we have playlists available for you on Spotify and Apple Music that you can just put it on and leave so that it fills the space with sound. It's a great white noise for your dog, and it allows them to like relax comfortably without being worried about the rattles and bumps and people and steps and honks and toots and whizzes that happen outside. We deliberately made it at a very specific beats per minute and a specific tone to fill that space with sound so that your dog's less affected by this. It came from an experience that we had traveling with our dogs. We have one dog that's a little sound sensitive, and when that happened, I thought, man, there's no good solution. We could put on a radio, but what if we made music that's specific for dogs? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So at the end of tonight's show, when I hit the off button, you guys will be directed right there to check it out. McCann Dogs Music.
We have so many lives this week, this month, because there's 3 Thursdays in the month of November.
Oh, really?
So
that's fun.
We'll see you guys a lot this month. Hopefully you'll come back. New topic every single time. But hopefully you'll join us again.
Absolutely. Huge thank you to our Heart Dog supporters. A huge thank you to our moderation team. A huge thank you to Marianne for the super chat. We're excited to talk a little bit more about training in 2 weeks. But with all of the teaching, all of the training, all of the things we've talked about tonight, the rest, my friends, well, that is up to you.